Johnny Mac with your daily comedy news. A federal judge had ruled that Dominion Voting Systems can proceed with its defamation lawsuits against Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy, Rudy Giuliani, and Sidney Powell. Seth Meyers called them Trump-adjacent weirdos and poked fun at their election fraud conspiracy theories. So Seth said, okay, so there are two plausible explanations for what happened here. Either a federal judge appointed by Donald Trump ruled that unfounded claims of election fraud made by three Trump allies were not exempt from defamation laws, or Hugo Chavez teamed up with China and the CIA to use Italian military satellites to hack the judge's computer and alter his opinion, which was then printed out on paper smuggled in from China covered in bamboo fibers. The only way we can know for sure is if we take the judge's ruling to a cabin in Montana, examine it under a powerful ultraviolet light, then bury it in the backyard, wait 3 days, and see if it rains. Seth and Colbert had fun on Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy, whose reaction to the news was caught on camera. Seth said, "Watching someone get bad news in real time at their own symposium is my new kink." Colbert, "Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy, held a live stream cyberposium for which he hired a cyber expert red team and gave them what he said was 37 terabytes of irrefutable evidence that hackers broke into election systems using intercepted packet captures." Packet captures, of course, is a technical term that you might know by their street name, pillowcases. Seth, "Honestly, poor cyber experts. You go to school to get a degree in computer science. You spend your whole career mastering a highly specialized skill that would be actually very helpful in today's high-tech economy. And then a psycho pillow magnate hands you what I'm guessing is a garbage bag full of dry cleaning slips and CVS receipts and said, I need you to switch who the president is." Seth, "Man, I wish I could have seen Rudy's face when he found out. And that's something, because I've wished to see Rudy's face." Colbert, "On top of that, Rudy's law license in Washington was suspended, and he was suspended from practicing law in New York due to demonstrably false and misleading statements about the election, which means he's cut off from his previous source of income, telling lies next to a dildo shop." Broadway 411, your home for comedy news, taking a poke at Jim Gaffigan. Oh, that's not good. They write, "Well, this is weird. The special Tony Awards event set for September 26th won't be at its usual home, Radio City Music Hall. The Tonys instead will be held at the cavernous but much smaller Winter Garden Theater. You're wondering why? Well, the Tonys are usually in June, but the pandemic postponed the last two Junes. This year, the Broadway League chose September 26th for a return, but the reasons the awards can't be at Radio City on September 26th is because Jim Gaffigan is booked for four nights in a row at the Fabled Theater. Broadway 411 says, Gaffigan is very funny, but four nights at Radio City? Really? They add, indeed, except for the final show on September 25th, Gaffigan's shows are mostly unsold. According to Ticketmaster, there are hundreds of seats at every price level. Broadway 411 reminds us, this round of Tony Awards is unusual anyway. The only actor nominated for lead in a musical is Aaron Tveit of Moulin Rouge. Presumably he'll win since he has no competition. That's hilarious. From Madison.com, they're still talking about the Louis C.K. appearance in Madison a few weeks back. Sasha Rosser says she still respects C.K.'s comedy so much that she asked club managers if she could open for C.K. at one of his shows. He's a good comedian. I still am to this day a fan of his comedy, but he's also done these unprofessional things that make a lot of people despise comedy. But hey, I'll open for him anyway. Which is weird because Rosser helped organize an all-female comedy show in response to the club booking Louis C.K., but she says she supports the club and will continue performing there. So you'll open for him, but if they don't let you open for him, you'll do a show up against him because you're protesting him unless he lets you open for him? I don't get it. Rosser said, like any of these situations, it reignites these conversations that might have been happening more frequently in the past. That's a fair point for Louis C.K. There should be a path of redemption for him. For me, he made some of those steps, but then he went backwards. Now he's almost kind of leaning into it and making light of it. Rosser said she envisioned Babelpalooza not as a protest event against C.K., but as a way to create something that was a positive alternative for those who were bothered by his presence in Madison. Unless, of course, they ask you to open for him, in which case I guess it's all fine. I don't get it here. Which is it? Do you want to open for him or not? We wanted to celebrate women in comedy and give people who are upset by the Louis C.K. booking an event to focus on that wouldn't make them feel like crap. Plus, I could open at it. Like, I don't get this. Which is it? Let me go back up here and make sure I'm not insane. Reading directly from Madison.com, Rosser said she also still respects C.K.'s comedy so much that she asked club managers if she could open for C.K. at one of his shows. She said she was told that C.K. handpicks his opening acts. He's a good comedian. I'm to this day still a fan of his comedy, blah, blah, blah. So, which is it? I'm totally confused. Going forward, Rosser doesn't think much will change on the Madison comedy scene. She thinks Comedy on State will do their best to book diverse comedians, but is often limited by Madison having so few non-white comedians. I'm sure a lot of people will boycott the club, and that's what they're going to do. For me, it's my home club, and I'm going to keep performing there. I think there's a little bit of friction, but I talked to the owner of the club, and I think there's an understanding there. Comedy is one of those media that have the power to allow people to share experiences that not everybody has, but they're relatable because they're funny, where in other contexts, it might seem preachy. Today's Daily Comedy News is brought to you by Travel Is Back. That's my casual travel podcast where every Monday I tell you about a place that I've been and what I like to do when I go there. This week, Montreal. Yeah, the Canadian border's open. Road trip. I can't wait to get back to Montreal, presumably next summer, unless I do a winter trip. Been thinking about doing Montreal, maybe Quebec City in the winter. Got to convince the wife to take a ride. Got the new car. I like driving it. If not, I'll go next July when the Montreal Comedy Festival is back. Anyway, this week on Travel Is Back, we go to Montreal. Travel Is Back wherever you get your podcasts. This next story, not fun at all. I almost didn't do it. And I was like, your show's called Daily Comedy News and it's news. You kind of have to do it, but nothing fun here. Get rid of the kids. From the AV Club, actor, comedian, and former SNL star Horatio Sanz has been sued by a woman who says he sexually assaulted her when she was 17 years old. Per TMZ, the Pennsylvania woman, who's filing her suit as Jane Doe, allegedly met Sanz in the early 2000s when she was a regular on SNL fan sites as a teenager. She says that her first contact with Sanz came when he and Jimmy Fallon reached out to her when she was 15, sending her the first of several emails from their official NBC email accounts. Thereafter, the suit asserts defendant Sanz began his process of grooming plaintiff. The AV Club has some details of the suit that I choose not to get into here on the podcast. It's all yucky. Sanz issued a statement denying the allegations through his lawyer. The statement calls the accusations categorically false and ludicrous, with Sanz's attorney asserting to TMZ that before filing this lawsuit anonymously, the accuser demanded $7.5 million in exchange for her silence. We, of course, refused and will vigorously contest these totally meritless claims. From Yahoo, living well is the best revenge. One of the most memorable moments in the history of Howard Stern's career was when Howard and Sam Kinison called Bobcat Goldthwait to end a feud between Bobcat and Sam. Goldthwait said, "Sam was always talking a lot of crap about me. I looked bad when they did that. I didn't feel like fighting when I was getting ambushed. It was one of the lower parts of my career. I'm sure if Sam had lived, he'd be in the Oval Office with Kid Rock. I don't have anything in common with him. I broke on the national scene before him. I thought that early persona I came up with was funny. I've changed so much since then. I love the title of one of his recent albums. Maybe it's his newest album. Is called You Don't Look the Same Either, which is pretty funny. He's been doing a lot of movies. He says, I try to challenge myself. I wouldn't make a movie if there wasn't something I found challenging each time out. When I made Willow Creek, a scary, suspenseful Bigfoot movie, the germ of that movie was when I was watching Quentin Tarantino's Inglourious Basterds. I was thinking about how Tarantino always has these suspenseful moments with not a lot going on, but you're still on the edge of your seat. Can I do this? I tried. The last screenplay I wrote was a family picture. Can I pull it off? It all seems quite possible. These days, he's back on stage doing comedy. No, he's not doing the... He's doing, you know, traditional stand-up comedy, and he's really funny. You should check him out. And he says it's great to have this opportunity again. That is your comedy news for today. Follow this show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you get your shows. Instagram @Daily Comedy News. See you tomorrow.